So Dale Rittenhouse will serve as your lead. So are you ready, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so once you get a paperwork going, then we'll be ready to get started, sir.
Okay, sir.
Okay, Mr. Grijalva?
Yes, ma'am.
Could you please state your full name and your ABC number for the
record? It's Juan Antonio Grijalva. DOT number is 200694.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the one allegation that's on your warrant.
Yes.
Okay, and you were notified about this hearing on August 3rd. You signed a form that day. Do you remember that?
Yes, ma'am, I did.
Okay, on that form is a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is that you can hire at your expense an attorney to represent you, or you can represent yourself. So which is it today? Are you representing yourself, or did you hire an attorney?
I represent myself.
Okay, sir. That's fine. It's optional to hire an attorney.
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board who are conducting the hearing. We have, you can't see us, normally you would be able to, but our video is acting up again. We have the Honorable David Neal, the Honorable Dr. C.T. White, who's our board chair, the Honorable Michael Johnson, and my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the lead for your hearing today. We also have in the room with us the Honorable Mr. Oliveri, who is with the Department of Corrections, and he'll represent the department and your parole officer in today's hearing.
Okay.
So, I need to swear the both of you in. So, Mr. Grijalva and Mr. Oliveri, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, ma'am.
I do.
Thank you. So, Mr. Grijalva, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and then phase two to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked.
Okay.
So for phase one, Mr. Grijalva, I'm going to read this allegation to you, and I need you to respond whether it's true or false.
Okay.
All right, so we'll start phase one. And the allegation is that you were in violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report in for a face-to-face contact visit on or about May 7th, 2018, as written directed on May 4th, 2018. You were actively avoiding supervision. Mr. Grijalva, is this true or false?
It's true.
Okay, sir. Based on Mr. Grijalva's admission, then, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of supervision and may have lapsed or have lapsed into criminal ways of company.
Second.
All right, motion by myself. Just a moment, Mr. Grijalva, I got some paperwork here. Motion by myself, seconded Mr. Johnson, agreed Dr. White and Mr. Neal. Okay, so Mr. Grijalva, we'll move on to phase two, which is the more important part to you, and that is whether your supervision is reinstated or revoked. But before we get too far, I want to ask Mr. Oliveri to give us all some background information. So just stay on the phone there, and we'll be back to ask you some questions in just a minute.
Okay,
Mr. Oliveri.
Offender Grijalva was released from the Department of Corrections on February 22nd of 2018. He was arrested on July 12th of 2018 by Tucson PD on a charter warrant only, returned back to DOC custody that same day. He has 66 days abscond. His projected supervision end date will be on January 27th of 2019. Current conviction, 2015, trafficking and stolen property, 3 years, 9 months. Prior convictions, 2005, theft and means of transportation, 1 year, 6 months. 2005, flight from a law enforcement vehicle, 1 year, 6 months. And in 2012, theft and means of transportation, 2 years, 6 months. The offender has three terms with ABC. CU and IR scores are a 2-3, mental health score of a 2, and substance abuse score of a 1. There was no STG gang information noted. Prior terms of supervision, in 2006, TIS release, arrested on a technical violation and revoked by the BOEC. And in 2014, TIS release, completion, 6 months. The offender has a moderate disciplinary history with drugs noted. Other arrest, 2005, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona felony conviction, probation. And in 2012, domestic violence, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. His community risk level is a G4, B5.
Thank you, Mr. Oliveri. G4, B5. Okay, back to you, Mr. Vivaldo. We have just a few notes on your supervision here. It looks like you were approved when you were released to live at 221 East Olive
Street.
In Tucson?
Yeah, Tucson, Arizona.
Okay, and who lives there?
My uncle.
Oh, that's your uncle's residence, okay.
Yeah.
All right. And did you work at all? Did you have a job? Or were you looking?
I was looking. I was running around finding a job, trying to work with my PO. She wanted me to do what I had to. But I was in the hospital because of my food condition, because of my health.
Okay. What kind of work do you do, sir?
I cut hair. I do landscaping.
Okay.
Do a lot of fast work on my food. McDonald's, everything, fast food work, pretty much where I can keep myself busy.
Okay. Now, you said you had you were in the hospital, did you say?
Yeah. Right before I came in, the day I got arrested, I was released from the hospital from QMC in Tucson.
Okay.
And prior to getting released from there, I went to the foothills. It's a catty corner from QMC off of Grand Craycroft.
Yep, I know where that is. Okay. So are they treating you in there? Are you getting your medical problems treated?
Kind of, but they don't want to take me back to the hospital because of the wound's too open right now as it is.
Oh, okay. So you've got a wound that won't heal? Is that the problem?
Yeah. It's been going on for almost 2.5 years since 2012, actually. Been going on off and on.
Holy cow. Okay.
Yeah, that's why I've been taking care of myself on the streets in the hospital because of my situation, because of my kidneys and my diabetes, because I got type 1 diabetes, diabetes right now.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
And that's why I was trying to take care of that, because the parole stuff, going to classes, even though I went on a run, not sure enough, I still go to court and do my classes at least 3 times a week.
Okay, so you were going to Coke. We don't even have that on our sheet here, but you were going
to
Coke.
Yeah, because my case manager, her name was Rachel.
Okay.
And she can vouch for me for me showing up going to classes. Even she was doing, helping me up do my monthly bus pass for transportation to get on the bus to get to Coke back and forth, like, every day.
Okay.
And she was kind of pretty much, she knew everything what was going to do through my surgeries, even going to classes and helping me out to take certain 2 classes and everything, even
okay.
For everything.
I'm glad you were going to class. So it looks like you had urine. You were supposed to drop a urine, and you did on March 23rd, and it came out negative. And that's the only one that you had?
I remember that. When I got out, I did one. I think I did twice.
Okay, they just didn't get it on our sheet here. Sometimes they miss one
here
and there.
Because one time I went to check with my PO Martha right there for the last 3 months. And the last day, I was supposed to go because I kind of relapsed a little bit because of my situation while I was going through. I was overwhelmed with a lot of stuff going on with my health,
right. The
classes and everything, but I kind of cleaned up myself now.
Okay. What did you relapse on?
Just marijuana.
Okay, marijuana.
The pain and everything, and I kind of didn't smoke methamphetamine for just for a couple of days and shit, but I kind of, last time I went back to go COVID, and I kind of told my counselor about the relapse and everything. That's when she took me to advanced class and everything. I was doing that at least twice a week.
Okay. Now, I see in the past you've got a conviction, you had a probation for a drug paraphernalia. What was that about?
That was back a while back for having marijuana and cocaine. I've been sober for a long time now. I was overwhelmed this time because too much stuff going on in my life when I got out because I was trying to get on, find a CPS, then trying to get my son back, find a job, taking classes, and trying to do what I was, and I was dealing with my health and everything. And
so you had used cocaine in the past, sir?
Yeah, but I've been sober for the last 10, 15 years already.
Okay, all right.
I stopped cold turkey, even from alcoholic, I stopped cold turkey.
That's hard to do, so I...
Yeah, it's really hard, it kind of sucks.
Okay,
with
so...
With and everything, it kind of hurts and everything, but
so
I...
So you absconded, or you kind of disappeared for 66 days. What were you doing during that time?
Going to Catholic, going to hospital, back and forth from Catholic hospital, and you have surgery, and just, you know, I was trying to take care of my health and my foot, and I still trying to take care of it right now as it is.
Okay.
I still power my lap and everything, trying to take care of them and my grandma, and it was too much stress for me to take care of, but now I realized that my aunts and uncles are definitely helping me out to guide me to the right place to take me to where I gotta go now.
Okay, so you didn't think about calling your parole officer?
To be honest, I tried to, but I was right there, overwhelmed. I fumbled the stabs and everything. I messed up and then the situation I was doing and everything. She had called me, I answered the call, and she told me to come show up, and I didn't show up because of my situation with my feet and everything. And I was kind of, screwed up that day.
Okay. Did she know about your foot problem and all of that?
She did, and I told her, I have paperwork from the hospital and everything for
right.
Where I was at. Right now, the police station has most of my stuff right now, and my paperwork from TMC and UMC in Tucson shows that I was in the hospital and everything, from the surgeries and everything.
Okay. Our experience has been that most parole officers really will work with people, especially in a situation like that, and so it would have been a good thing for you to call your PO.
I kind of messed up on that part on my behalf. I know, I understand that.
Okay.
I just fumbled it.
All right. I want to see if my fellow board members have any questions. Anybody else have a question? No? Okay, Mr. Greenhalgh, we're coming toward the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the chance to make a final statement. Is there anything else you just came into your mind and said, hey, I should have told him that?
Yeah, I should have been real and honest with myself, like I'm always there, but I kind of screwed up the situation I was in with. I mean, but I understand now, I learned the mistake of, that I did. I'm not up to them. I realized now I got the help and support from my family, especially my aunt and my uncle, that they really helped me out and everything. If I get a chance to go back, they'll really help me out. I'll go back to the program where I was at to cope and do everything I got to do to keep myself situated where to going forward. Plus, I'll have a job for anything by the time I get out. I mean, I know it's not that much, but it's making efforts so I know I'm willing to make that effort and move forward now.
Good. Well, that's certain, having that job is very important. That's a good
thing. Yeah, because my friend said, I got a good thing. I have a landscaping company going up. Mm-hmm. He's willing to wait for me until I get out to get that job and actually hire me and everything.
Excellent. Okay, and I thought of one other thing I was going to ask you, and that is, it looks like you've had some discipline since you've been in prison that involved drugs. What was that about?
This bad situation with bad people and everything, I was at the wrong time, at the wrong place and everything.
Well, what drug was it?
Huh?
What drug?
Me getting back into in here or on the street?
In there. What drug did you use in prison?
I was getting pain medication for medical, that's why I walked, because my first surgery I had in here, they're giving a Title III's.
But the prison gave that to you. What was the illegal drugs that you used in prison?
I was dropping dirt for opiates, but...
And you're saying it's because of your Tylenol 3?
Yeah, because medical was giving Title III's.
Okay.
Because due to the conditions of my surgery on my foot, that's why...
Okay, but usually they coordinate that with the discipline and they
yes, yeah. I'm taking medication that... It might be dirty, and I was going with them. I was telling every time that
okay.
I might drop dirty for opiates, my medications I'm taking for medicine. I just had surgery.
But you didn't use heroin or anything like that?
No. I just took medical wise, gave me the triathletes, because of my pain, my foot. I just had surgery.
Yep. Okay. All right, so the board is going to go into discussion, and we do all our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So we just ask that you stay on the phone, just remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a moment.
Okay.
The board is now in discussion. Mr. Grijalva has clearly some medical issues going on there and has been trying to deal with that. He may have that, you know, start to have a handle on that. It just is unfortunate that when he got out that he disappeared for 66 days, and during which time his parole officer did not know what he was doing. If not for that, I could possibly recommend him for continued community supervision, but because of the abscond time, I cannot see him as a good candidate, but I would listen to any input from any thoughts from fellow board members. Seeing no thoughts from fellow board members, I'm going to make a motion based on information in warrant 2018W1548. Our conversation with Mr. Grijalva, information provided by Mr. Oliveri. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Grijalva was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal laser company, specifically by absconding for 66 days, during which time his parole officer could not monitor his activity.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded. Mr. Johnson agreed, Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal. Okay, back to you, Mr. Grijalva. The board has voted to revoke your community supervision, sir. Being gone for 66 days without contact to your parole officer is just violates the whole spirit of community supervision. So we wish you the best, sir. We're showing you with the release date of January 27th, 2019. So,
I have a good question.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
The time I did get on parole?
Up to a point, but at a point when you disappear,
yeah,
then that will get added on. So that's included. So that January 27th date is the date on or about that you'll be released, sir.
Yeah, because my end date was supposed to be November 21st of this year.
Right, but because of those 66 days, then you get those tacked on.
Okay, just a tad more. Okay, I can go home again January 22nd.
About the 27th, I think, is the date. January 27th.
Okay,
sir. So thank you very much. We appreciate you being so respectful in the hearing today, and this will conclude your hearing, sir.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. You have a nice day.
Thank you. You too. Give the phone back to the CO3, please.